very much, honorable members and officials. We now going to the next presentation, which is RHLF to present to us on their mandate, and we will ask questions of clarity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to present our mandate to you. My name is Jablan Fagazi, the CEO of RALF, and I'm with my colleague, Mr. Bruce Gordon, who is the CFO of Royal Housing Wealth Fund. So there's the outline of our presentation. Before I actually share with you our mandate, I think it's appropriate, Chairperson and members of the committee, that I preface the presentation by...
Your voice is very soft. Very soft.
How is it now? Better. Thank you. Thanks. I was saying that before I present you the mandate, I think it is appropriate that I preface the presentation by sharing with you just a brief background about RALF, how it was established, when it was established. RALF is a creation of the National Government of South Africa, which was as a result of the South Africa-German Development Cooperation. Through that cooperation, the German government provided a grant of 150 million rands in 1996, and that grant capital was earmarked to assist people in rural areas to access housing credit so that they can improve their housing conditions. Since then, we have accessed a loan of about 136 million from KfW, which is the German Development Bank, and then from the government fiscals, we have received a grant capital of 132 million. This is from our own government. So we have, those are the resources that we have accessed since inception that have enabled us to implement our mandate. Our mandate, Chairperson and members of the committee, is to enable people in rural areas to access housing credit. The key word is access housing credit so that they can improve their housing conditions in rural areas. Our mandate has three elements. One regards the loan usage. Once they access housing credit, there are various uses that they can use credit for. And that includes building a new house, extending an existing house, effecting other fixed improvement to a house, connecting to utilities such as water and electricity, water harvesting such as purchasing JoJo tanks so that they can actually harvest, I mean, rainwater for consumption, fencing. There are many instances when they invest in what we call productive housing, where they will build a space that they can use for income generating activities, such as bazaar shops in some instances. In terms of the mandate, they can also utilize the credit to purchase land on which they can build their houses. The second element is that of geography, actually, which is included in our name, rural. But rural areas in our mandate is broadly defined to include tribal areas or communal land areas, farm areas, as well as small towns of South Africa, out of recognition of the fact that access to services in many small towns of this country are very poor. And then the third element pertains to the when we say low income, the upper limit. We're looking at currently people who are earning a maximum of 15,000 rand per month as people who are falling within our target market. This amount has just been approved by the minister effective the first of April this year. Prior to that, we're servicing the market of 9,800 and less, and in 2004 that was 7,500. rand per month. And the other part of our mandate is that we have to support our government in terms of implementing rural development of the country. In that respect, we ensure that working with our intermediaries, funding that we provide actually do reach the poor rural areas of this country that are prioritized by our government. In terms of service delivery model, RALF is incorporated as a wholesale development finance institution. In other words, we do not provide funds or loans directly to the public, but we have business partners or partners who actually access loan facilities from us and then on lend to individual borrowers across the country in the mandated areas of RALF. So there are various types of intermediaries that work with us. The first category is that of commercial intermediary lenders. Those are companies that are registered with the NCR who access funds from us and then on lend to individual borrowers, mainly formerly employed people, because they have to comply with the National Credit Act. So when they do vetting in terms of checking whether people can actually qualify for a loan, they will have to ensure that a person has a regular income. They will have to check the credit indebtedness of that person, or credit exposure, before they grant income. In terms of how they reach the market, they use various channels. One channel, they have branch network across the country. And another channel that we actually like most is that they work with building merchants where their loan officers will be in store actually to assist borrowers to access a credit, from the lenders. So I'm saying we like this one most because for us it ensures that the leakage is minimized. Some of them have field agents that they deploy to various rural areas of the country to basically sell loans for house improvement. The second category is that of community-based organizations. This is a very important one from the development perspective for us because many people who are not formally employed but who aspire to improve their housing positions may actually form themselves into community-based organizations that get engaged in income-generating activities. You know, that income that they get is sort of informal and irregular. And they find it very difficult to access loans from commercial intermediaries because of their requirements when it comes to credit vetting. So through working with the community-based organizations, we are trying to enable people who are informally employed and self-employed to access facilities from us and on lend to their members only so they can improve their housing conditions. They can do so precisely because they are not necessarily required to register with the National Credit Act as a credit provider because they are not lending to the general public. But moreover, we want to take advantage of the social capital that they have because within the group, they will know their abilities to repay the loans because we still actually offer them loan facilities. It's not grant facilities, so they still have to repay the loan facility to RALF. What we are trying to do, Honorable Chairperson, is also to identify member-based organizations like members of the unions so that we can work with their special purpose vehicle whose interest is to improve, the development needs of their members. So we are currently talking to two organizations in this regard. We have been talking to them for a little while now. So they are busy with, registration arrangements so that they can be able to access facilities from us for their members. I think it is important that I share with you the examples of how people actually utilize our loans to improve their housing conditions. There are various situations that are captured in the slides, like the case of Mrs. Moregi in Kwakwa, who has been living in the shack, but has been able to access a loan and has begun to build incrementally a permanent structure of the house for her family. Many people borrow money, actually, before they start building, do what we call stockpiling. That is, they will purchase materials that are not perishables and actually put them on the yard so that when they are actually ready, they can build it, begin the building process. So that's an example of how our loans are utilized by the target markets. The next one, Chairperson, this lady, Mrs. Mdwedwa from Ekofimvaba, is a teacher. And actually that explains the reason why we had to motivate to the minister to increase the upper limit to 15,000, because we noticed that many teachers and nurses, police officers in rural areas who choose to work and live on communal land where they cannot access mortgage finance, they also aspire to build bigger and better houses. But if they are to save for that purpose, it can take them many years, in fact, to achieve their housing dreams. So as a result, we applied for the increase of the upper limit so that we can also service that market without worrying about the mandate leakage. So that's another example of how we achieve the mandate. I will give to the CFO of RALF to talk about the targets.
Thanks, Jay. Okay, we've divided our targets into three areas. There's a strategic outcome which focuses on the clients, and there's our financial, and then there's our internal ones. Our goal, the main goal really is on the second block there, you'll see the number of end user loans that we've distributed. Our target for this year is 49,000 loans. Those are what we count as housing opportunities in terms of the MTEF. That is an increase on last year's achievement and is really a stretch target for us. Underneath that, you see the average loan size we're achieving. It's 6,000 Rand that people, on average, that people will borrow from us to build, which is why you'll see them stockpiling bricks. You don't build a house for 6,000 Rand. You buy the bricks. The next time around, you'll buy stone and sand, then you'll eventually buy the cement and hire somebody to actually start the building for you. So it's an incremental process that people go through with that size of loans. You'll see we say 20%, we accept that about 20% of our loans will go to people earning more than our target. I think we've worked out that it's actually more cost-effective to actually allow slight excesses rather than trying to put in controls and say no excess at all. It would cost us more, and in the end we'd actually land up giving fewer qualifying people loans. That's for going over. We do have a target of more than 60% going to people earning less than 3,500. And in fact, on that 60%, a large proportion actually goes to people earning under 1,500. Unlike NHFC, we don't have a lower level for lending. If somebody can afford to pay back a loan, we're quite happy that they borrow. In terms of intermediaries, we've got 12, we're targeting to have 10 retail intermediaries by the end of this year. That's down on our last year's target. We've had a couple of that we've actually cancelled facilities where people aren't complying with our requirements. So we've cancelled those facilities, but we're slowly starting to build that up again. And then community-based organizations, we're slowly building up. The problem, a community-based organization is very difficult to work with because we need to spend a lot of money on training them. You know, for a commercial intermediary, we'll say to them, send us a business plan and we'll give you some money if you're happy with it. With a community-based organization, we need to go and help them actually build up their plan, spend money actually building it for them, helping them understand the process, making sure they get through it. So it costs us quite a bit of money and a lot of effort. But we do that because we are able to then target people who are unable to borrow through normal commercial intermediaries because of the requirements of the National Credit Act, that they just can't have their incomes verified. So our income statement, our financial goals, targeting a revenue of 39 million for this year. You'll see that's down on last year's revenue. The reason it's going down is one of the key questions that the previous portfolio committee kept asking us, what are you doing about interest rates to end users? We don't price our loans for risk anymore. We price it for what the price is that the intermediary actually charges to the end user. And we're actually finding that they actually are dropping those rates quite substantially. And in turn, we're dropping our rates that we charge the intermediaries. on average, if they give a 2% discount to an end user, we give them a 1% discount. So effectively, they take half the pain, we take half the pain. But it does mean our revenue is dropping, and we're happy with that. Financial investments, we have to keep some cash in terms of our loan arrangements with DBSA. We have to keep 10% of our assets as cash at the moment, which means we then earn interest on that. You'll see that's dropped as well from the previous year. That's because the money now has to be with the Reserve Bank. We can't invest it on commercially, so the rate we're getting there is lower. Impairments, we're fairly conservative on the way we impair our debt. We look at the financial statements of our debtors, of our intermediaries every month, and make an assessment of the risk there and impair accordingly, with the result that we've got, I think, of our intermediaries, there are four that don't have any impairment at all against them. So we keep this going on an ongoing basis, making sure that we actually are conservative. So if something does go wrong, it doesn't really affect our income statement that much. Expenses, our expenses are slowly increasing. We're actually slowly increasing our staff as well. The latest increase in staff has been around our verification of housing impact. So we actually have a team that goes into the field and actually goes and looks at houses. Those photographs you saw are from that team that go out and make sure that intermediaries are actually getting housing impact. A couple of years ago, we had a third party do a review for us, and we found there were a lot of people who were taking cash, and cash doesn't turn into a house unless you actually convinced you want that house. Which is also why we're now dispersing mainly through building merchants to get that. Our operating expense ratio is obviously going up because of the revenue going down. Our total capital, you can see the numbers there. That's made up of the grants from Human Settlements and KFW, as well as our retained profits. And return on equity targeting 3.6% for this coming financial year. In terms of our balance sheet, you'll see our total loans that we have by the end of the year. We aim to have about 360 million rand out in funding. We've got equity. Two of our intermediaries we own shares in. One of them we've got 20%, one we've got around 5%, and that's the value of those shares that we've got at the moment. You'll see we've got something there called held to maturity. That's some preference shares in one of our intermediaries. We've had to provide for that in full because the intermediary's been making losses. This year they've turned to profit, so we may start reversing that soon, that provision. Fixed assets, mainly computers and software that we've got in there. We have low staff numbers, so we don't need offices and buildings. In total, actually, we've got 15 staff, and for our 40 to 50,000 housing opportunities a year. Other receivables, that's basically just, mainly deferred tax. Bank balance, you'll see we keep a lot of cash at the moment. We're trying to reduce that down to the level that we need, that we have to in terms of the DBSA loan. You see the loan there. And then bottom up is our capital. It's a detailed income statement. You'll see the biggest portion of our expenses is our employee costs. And you'll also should notice that our travel costs are going up. The reason for travel costs going up are twofold. One is that we're going into rural areas to find new intermediaries. You know, we've recently signed intermediaries in a town called Jane First in Limpopo and another one in a town called Elam in Limpopo. So it takes driving into those remote areas. And the other area that we're increasing our travel is when we go is the verification of housing. You know, the people go deep into rural areas. We don't hire a Group B car. We actually end up having to hire a 4x4 with a double cab because often you will fetch the borrower from their place of work to actually go and look at that, be taken to the house to actually look at it. So those expenses are going up, and I think it's a very good investment that we make to help us ensure that these things are working. In conclusion, I think Ralph we are achieving the mandate we have in terms of within the constraints of our funding resources. We do have a huge target market. We estimate that of the rural households, we manage to get loans to 1% of them every year with the funding we have. There's a tough economic market out there. A lot of people are highly indebted, but what we're finding is in deep rural areas where people are self-employed, they don't have debt because they haven't been able to access it, which is why the community-based organizations are, we think, a way to go. And also, our business model, we feel, is really active citizenry. It's people who are actually building their own houses. The government funding is there purely to as loan funding. They don't get grants from us. They actually drive their own process. They build their own houses, and they build the houses they want. They're not told what they have to build or what they have to have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was our brief story.
Thank you for that story. Nice and short. Any questions of clarity? Honorable Memezi, Honorable Ngangacabashe, Honorable Kana.
Thanks, Chair. I think the two gentlemen, I can easily see they are from the same entity. Their approach in talking is the same. So they are gentle. Now, the problem, you irritate people who are listening, who struggle to hear you. So in future, be audible. When you speak to people, ensure that they hear you. So that's the purpose of public speaking. You must be heard. The moment you can't be heard, why do you speak then? So please, ne? The entity, indeed, I like your concluding remarks. You are saying the target market is huge and more needs to be done significantly to increase the market coverage. So I would need to hear, what are you doing to ensure that statement? Because I am of the view, I'm born in the rural areas. We need entities such as this. It's like it's a dream that you are existing. So your existence, as far as I'm concerned, it would be even also to come up with a marketing document that can show where have you not one person in Gofimvaba, not even one person in Emambodwini, not even one. So I'm saying market yourself as well. I think it's an institution that we need it. South Africa needs it, but much more must be done. I am happy with your concluding remarks. Much more must be done. I think even the department, everybody, in terms of ensuring that indeed. Thanks, Chair.
It would have assisted us if you listed which provinces are you operating from. Because now ngizobuza nami njengoba ebuza honorable members ukuthi ngakithe KZN njengoba there are many rural areas where are you involved in KZN and where are you operating from? But really, this is one entity that needs to expand, because most of the rural areas, people need it, and they are saying they are not benefiting, whereas they are. There is an institution that needs to benefit them. Chair, we'll come back on your presentation on financials when we deal with the budget. So it's not that we did not pay attention to it. Thank you.
Honorable Khan.
Thanks, Chair.